The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you doing?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, good. I hope everybody celebrated Tu B'Av on Friday, the Jewish Day of Love. Unfortunately, we didn't have much time to talk about it on Thursday. But it's a very important day in our calendar, and I hope that everybody had the chance to express their love for their close ones.
Absolutely, and we in fact celebrated it the perfect way Thursday evening by going to a wedding. So it was a great, wonderful, great day to have a wedding, which was on Tu B'Av. All right, less pleasant and less love being shown. The Israeli government decided to ban the entry of two Israeli U.S. congresswomen who have worked very hard and very publicly to promote BDS and anti-Israel activities. So, of course, this was a major story. It took place a late Thursday afternoon. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. There was back and forth. Eventually, Tlaib was allowed to see her grandmother. She turned it down. Where are we with all of that? What is actually the story behind Israel banning the two congresswomen from visiting the country?
Okay, so we're talking about Rashida Tlaib and, of course, Ilhan Omar, who are very, very open in their hate towards Israel. And I think there can be little doubt that this is what they would call in the classic business, sinat chinam. They're just really setting out to express hatred towards Israel. They have a very firm agenda, both congresswomen representing the Democratic Party in the United States, and they have a very specific agenda of really trying to promote as much anti-Israel feeling as possible. And, you know, if their case was based upon something which was understandable, which could be argued against, then I would say, look, let's engage with these people and let's have a discussion with them, and let's try and convince them either way. Let's show them the reality of what's happening on the ground. But these are clearly people who have no interest at all to know the reality, the truth about, you know, what is really happening here, despite the fact that they had planned to come. And I think that therein lies a little bit of a dilemma, because it has been known about the fact that they were planning to come for at least a month, because we know that Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, actually mentioned it back in July about a month ago, when he spoke about the fact that these two anti-Israeli representatives would actually be allowed to visit Israel because of Israel's respect for the U.S. Congress. This was Ron Dermer speaking already a month ago. So this was known, and there had been no attempt at that stage to try to stop them from entering Israel. The Israeli government seems a little bit uncoordinated on this particular issue, because Foreign Minister Yisrael Katz has said that Dermer was speaking for himself and not on behalf of the Israeli government or on behalf of the Prime Minister. Prime Minister Netanyahu himself, on his way to Ukraine for an official visit there, actually spoke out saying that the reason that Ron Dermer made those statements a month ago is because we didn't really know at that stage, or the Israeli government didn't really know at that stage, what their planned agenda was, whether these ladies were planning to go. And so at that stage, the Israeli government hadn't actually acted to either approve or to reject their visit to Israel. All of that is unclear, to be honest, because there's a lot of smoke and mirrors being played here about this very, very unclear way in which the Israeli government has acted. But clearly, on Thursday, what happened was Prime Minister Netanyahu decided that neither Rashida Tlaib nor Ilhan Omar would be allowed to enter Israel, and they were advised as such. And this came on the back of a very, very strong tweet that came from Donald Trump, which effectively made Israel look a little bit foolish by saying that, you know, he felt that Israel was being stupid by allowing these two anti-Israeli activists to come and visit Israel. And of course, the cynicals amongst us, and you know, the rumor mongers amongst us, eventually got the machines moving, and Netanyahu's response saying that he would ban these two ladies from visiting Israel was, of course, then presented against the backdrop of President Trump's tweet. And so everybody is now, or many people are now, saying that Netanyahu simply responded to Trump and is pandering to Trump by banning these two ladies. He's effectively, he's fulfilling the statement that Trump's made that said that Israel would be stupid to allow them to come in. And so Netanyahu reacted immediately by banning them. What Israel did do, however, in banning both Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar was they said that if Rashida Tlaib would make application on humanitarian grounds to visit Israel, to visit her family and her grandmother in particular, that Israel would positively consider that application. And within a very, very short space of time on Friday, Rashida Tlaib had written a letter to Minister of Interior Arya Deri to say that she would like to make an application on humanitarian grounds to visit her grandmother, who is 90 years old and who is not in good health, and this may be the last opportunity for her to see her grandmother. And then she went on to set out saying that she would undertake not to engage in BDS activities, anti-Israel activities, while she was in Israel. So that was really part she made that undertaking as part of her application letter, which surprised me a little bit, because I would have thought that she would have just made the application on humanitarian grounds without promising to do anything that goes against what she naturally would want to do. And then she would wait for the Israeli government to effectively impose restrictions on her, which is naturally what they would be inclined to do if they would approve the application. And then she might use that as some sort of advert against what the Israeli government is all about. In the event, she actually volunteered not to engage in anti-Israeli activities. And when the Israeli Foreign Ministry and the Interior Ministry granted her the application and said that she would be allowed to visit her grandmother, she then publicly went ahead and said she's not going to do it anyway. And so, of course, that prompted Arya Deri to say, it seems as if, though, she hates Israel more than she loves her grandmother, which, of course, is hops back to the Golda Meir quote that said, we will never have peace in this area until the Arabs love their children more than they hate Israel. And so that's really the situation that we have at the moment. So it seems as if, though, Rashida Tlaib has now rejected the fact that Israel is allowing her to make a humanitarian visit, and she's not going to do that. And of course, there is a lot of consternation about how this was carried out and how this decision was made and exactly what drove the decision, what lay behind it. Was it really the Israeli government wanting to do what they wanted to do, or was this simply pandering to Trump's tweet in order to keep Netanyahu in Trump's good books? That's the question that's being asked right now.
Yeah, so it is interesting because she obviously played it quite poorly, assuming, I think, that Israel would have rejected it as well. But it did kind of backfire once she then decided that she wouldn't be going in any events. Anthony, was there any comment as to why these two travelers didn't join the 70 U.S. Congress representatives that came to Israel just a few weeks ago?
So there's been absolutely no comment about that, except for the fact that when the 70 Democrat members of Congress did visit Israel as a group a few weeks ago, there was already reference at that point to the fact that these two lady travelers, the two congresswomen, would be traveling on their own in a few weeks' time. So that was already known at that time and being publicly discussed. But it seems, if I was to speculate, and it's pure speculation because I have absolutely no idea why they decided to separate their visit from the others, but it seems as if, though, whereas the others were really given quite a fair and balanced view, meeting both Israeli Knesset lawmakers and representatives on the Israeli side, as well as having the opportunity to meet with members of the Palestinian Authority and with Arab members of Knesset and with Arab representatives in general. It seems as if, though, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar were not much interested in meeting the Israeli side of the fence. And when one has a look at the program that has been published in the paper that they were going to follow during the time of their visit, then there's really very little attempt to be in on the Israeli side of the border as such, except for a visit to Jerusalem where they were going to visit some of the holy sites in Jerusalem. But there was no attempt to meet any members of the Israeli government. And in fact, it seems as if the whole trip by these two ladies was being sponsored by Miftach, which is a non-governmental organization chaired by Hanan Ashrawi, whose name we all know very, very well as a member of the Palestinian Authority. So it seems as if their trip was really focused on doing things which those 70 Democratic members of Congress didn't do, or maybe doing two, you know, the two ladies didn't want to engage with the Israeli lawmakers and the Israeli representatives.
Yeah, it certainly is very, very strange. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Rockets were fired from Gaza towards Israel over the weekend. How is Israel responding to the latest rocket fire? What happened? How many were fired?
Well, there was a rocket that was fired on Friday evening that was intercepted by Iron Dome, and then a further few rockets were fired on Saturday, some of which were intercepted by Iron Dome, and in fact people were injured. There was shrapnel that fell as a result, it seems, of the interception that took place on Saturday evening in the area of Sderot, and it seems as if that is what then precipitated these injuries. That apparently shrapnel landed in the yard of a home in Sderot, and there were people who were treated for injuries, and apparently there were others who were injured while trying to run to bomb shelters. One lady apparently fainted and had to be treated by Magen David Adom, and there were others who fell over while running for bomb shelters. So there were a few injuries, and of course a very surprising, I think, I'm not sure that we were really expecting bombs to be fired, rockets to be fired on Friday and Saturday evening in the way that they were, and then closely followed by further attempts to infiltrate the fence from Gaza. And, you know, these are all being put together. And what's interesting for me is that the Israeli comment is that not the rocket fire and not the infiltrations from Gaza are actually being supported by Hamas. So the word on the street right now and the information that we're getting from the security services indicates that these attempts to attack Israel coming from Gaza are not being supported by Hamas, and some are even saying are being carried out despite Hamas's attempts to stop them from happening. There is a certain kind of kinmanship that's happening, ironically, between the Israeli security services and the Israeli government and Hamas, where both of them are really trying to stop the rocket fire, because it seems as if, though, you know, none of this is in Hamas's best interests. Mm-hmm. Having said that, the IDF did respond to the rocket fire. There were attacks that were carried out against Hamas targets in Gaza in response to that rocket fire and in response to the infiltrations along the Gaza border. So all in all, things are very uncertain. And there has been a slight increase in the number of incendiary devices that are coming over the Gaza border, having seen a dramatic decrease in the incendiary devices being sent over in recent weeks and months. We've seen just a slight uptick now. There is a certain element of unease that's going on the Gaza border right now, because if these rockets are being fired despite Hamas's best attempts to stop them, then, you know, the Israeli government needs to take that new situation on board and be able to cope with that, because perhaps now, you know, focusing their retaliation against Hamas is not exactly the right message. We'll have to see what the IDF will be doing in the next few days and weeks.
Yeah, it's quite a difficult situation, because even if Hamas is trying to stop it, the Israeli government and certainly the Israeli army can't be perceived to be doing nothing around it, which puts them in a very, very difficult position.
Exactly right. I mean, the Israeli government and the IDF official policy right now is that every attempt to infiltrate Israel and every rocket that's fired will be responded to, and that there will be a zero tolerance policy. So the question is, who will the IDF be retaliating against, and how will that be carried out? So we'll have to be watching to see how that transpires. Mm, mm.
And finally, I know we've only got less than a minute, but fires were started by Hezbollah on Israel's northern border. Are the security services able to handle this attack on the country's northern border?
Well, Yeah, I mean, the security services are obviously very well versed now in handling fires. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of practice in recent months. And of course, at this particular time when things are very, very dry indeed in the heat of the summer, and there's been quite a strong wind that fanned the flames, and there was thick smoke over the Haray Naftali, the Naftali Mountains, and towards the town, the Galil town of Margaliot, and also in the area of an IDF base that was in that area. So this is now arson that's being perpetrated by Hezbollah on the northern border, which I guess they probably learned from what went on with Hamas on the Gaza border, and seemed to be very effective in occupying the security services at that time. Of course, Israel is very prepared for attacks on both the northern and the southern borders parallel in at the same time if they need to respond to it like that. So again, we'll have to be watching this very, very carefully, but hopefully things will calm down a little on the northern border and these fires will be put out.
Absolutely right. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Rock, thank you as always. We'll catch you same time, same place tomorrow for the Israel Report. Here's your news with Sanati.